The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
On a snowy Monday morning, welcome in to the Leach Report for another week of UK sports conversation here on the show, served up each and every day by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And coming up today, Bill Raftery, who worked the game for CBS, will join us. John Hood, former Wildcat, and Dane Bradshaw, former Tennessee Vol, who's now on the SEC Network. So we'll talk about Kentucky's loss out in Missouri and look ahead down the stretch run of the regular season for the Wildcats. Our guest lineup each day is presented by Sleep Outfitters. You can interact with the show via Twitter @LeachReport. Email us, leachreport@gmail.com, or you can call toll-free 877-904-1080. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. That's private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Start with the Super Bowl last night and a very entertaining game. Especially if you're like most of the world and you're rooting for anybody but New England. Eagles win at 41-33. Thought a really good game plan by the Eagles coaches, and they were aggressive and they stayed true to that throughout the game. And I think that's what was a big key in getting them the win. The UK football Super Bowl ad at halftime, once again, very well done and getting very good reviews for everything I saw on Twitter after it aired last night. Rough trip to Missouri for the Wildcats. Mizzou gets its first ever win over Kentucky, 69-60, a season-low 31% shooting for the Wildcats. The previous low was 31.5% in a home win over Georgia, but that was a struggle. It's hard to win any game when you shoot that poorly. 2 of 20 threes for Kentucky. They've dropped back to 54th in offensive efficiency in the KenPom rankings. That's the worst of the Calipari era if it stays in that vicinity. Cal frustrated about his guys not sharing the basketball and about not listing in timeouts. Here's a little of what he said to me in our post game after the contest.
Segment two, three, two. Back with Coach John Calipari. You said in the down the stretch there, you're trying to make the comeback, and you had guys not listening to instructions in timeouts.
Well, there are times when you're saying we want to foul, and there was 3 minutes to go, and I said, do not let this team beat us at the foul line. Make them make baskets. Make them make basketball plays. Scramble. Do stuff. Make them make a jump shot. But don't foul them. And we fouled. And we fouled again. And we fouled again. And they're starting to look at each other. What are we doing? And then it became, okay, now we only have 40 seconds left. If they get it in, we got to foul. And the guy that we wanted to foul had the ball. And we didn't foul. And the whole team's screaming, foul, foul. And again, you know, it's part of being young and not playing well and trying to figure stuff out.
You saw some guys though holding teammates accountable and those things, which you take as a positive?
Yeah, a little bit. They were getting on guys. They were trying to get them to do the right thing.
You've had teams that it's taken even longer than this to get it. How do you guys help a team this young get it?
The issue is to get them to pass the ball and be about each other. It's hard right now, and the toughness you need mentally to play through some of this stuff, it's hard for these guys, especially if they're personally not playing well. Then they have there's nothing there for us. Like, you know, I'm not playing well, so, and that's all that immaturity that we're trying to work through. But
is it an issue of not trusting teammates or just too focused on themselves?
You know, I think it's a combination of both. So, okay.
Point guards took too many shots down the stretch.
I thought so. See you, Bob.
Thanks, Cal. Cats fall 69-60 here.
Saturday out in Missouri, so the Wildcats now have to get back into regroup mode against Tennessee tomorrow night. And I think it was Geist they were trying to foul there late. He had missed a 70% shooter, but that was about the worst on the floor, and he had missed some earlier. They had the ball in his hands. They didn't foul him, and then naturally, when they do get the foul, it ends up being in Cassius Robertson's hands, who is one of their better players and better free throw shooters. So it was, you know, it was a day when you shoot that poorly, especially on the road, you're not going to win very often. Some good things they did on the defensive end, but the assist to turnover number got to get better. And Kentucky's only had more assists than turnovers 7 times this season, but they're 7-0 in those games. So pass the ball more. They've been a little better in the last couple of games of taking care of the ball. But up at West Virginia, when they that second half when they played some of their best basketball, finished up that game with 16 assists. Calipari tweeted to BBN yesterday that needs some help for the Tennessee game tomorrow. He said, quote, "We need you to be at your best from tip to finish." And he said, last 8 minutes, do not sit down. And a tough beat yesterday for the UK women. Nice rally, but Macy Morris had a shot to tie it at the end. What an incredible move she made just to get open, but couldn't get the shot to go, and LSU hangs on to win 72-70. Links to the stories that we talk about each day can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. We are heading to a break. It's 12 after the top of the hour. When we come back, Bill Raftery from CBS on the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back into the Leach Report for a Monday. Bill Raftery joins us. He worked the game with Iron Eagle for CBS out in Columbia, Missouri on Saturday. And, Raft, that was some pretty ugly basketball in the first half. Neither team could make many shots. What did you see from Kentucky's perspective as far as how that game played out?
I thought they were off their pace for most of that, particularly in the first half. You know, just in a hurry, maybe tentative. You know, it's funny, you never like to say the crowd's influence it, but I think it was one of those environments where they never got comfortable and just caused a lot of difficulties. So obviously Knox with the booing, I bet he was a little bit surprised by it. But just little things sometimes with young people, you know, throw you off your game, or all of a sudden a couple things go awry and you lose your confidence. But I did think they played excellent defense. You know, they were well prepared for Roberson. Robertson, I should say, did a good job on him. Didn't get many attempts even in that first half. But all in all, I thought defensively excellent, offensively a struggle. And I guess the lament is not being able to make threes either as the game progressed.
Cal, he talked about it yesterday after the game, and he's talked about it at other times, about they seem to be kind of fighting him on sharing the ball and to the way that he wants. And he says it's guys that are so focused on their own games and struggles they might be going through that they can't maybe fully surrender to the team. Do you see that?
I don't think it's a selfish thing, though. I think what happens frequently is if you go into what you do on a frequent basis under stress and it works, that you feel you're helping others. You know, he's got a better pulse or feel of the pulse than I do, but I don't think it's selfishness as much as each group has to find themselves, and this one seems a little harder than others. It may not be quite as talented as some, but it's pretty darn talented. So, I mean, it's easy to harp on a game like that. I mean, that was a big game for Quanzo and Missouri. And I don't know if that's magnified enough by the home folks. I mean, they need that game for the NCAA tournament, or even to be thought of or be on the bubble. So, I mean, that throw that into a team still, you know, up and down a little bit, not sure of themselves. You know, not maybe giving the ball up as quickly as they should, or getting it from side to side, or attacking, or posting, you know, get some post offense. You know, all of those things, you know, make it difficult to win, particularly on the road, for a team that was maybe, in a sense, had their backs to the wall.
Does Kentucky need a I guess people would call it a go-to guy, one player to assert himself, or can they be fine with that changing from game to game?
Well, you know, I just think it's a go-to team. There are a lot of people on this team that, you know, let's just say it's Alexander. well, then he may not get others involved if that's the basis, that philosophy. So I just think they've got to play their game, make sure the right guys get touches, and it'll be different each game, I think, because they're all so talented. Richards, I think, is going to blossom someday. Hopefully it's at Kentucky. And his numbers weren't, real good, particularly gets a couple of fouls here and there. But, the go-to guy is, I don't think it's a misnomer, but it's one of those things where that the ball does get back to a key guy frequently. And I don't know if there's one key guy here. I think there's a number of them, and it's going to differ game to game, at least from my seat.
Are they shooting too quickly, not moving the defense enough?
Well, I think if they can get down and get some stuff early, that's great. But if it isn't, if it doesn't present itself early, it doesn't hurt to move the defense a little bit and get some little ISOs and give guys opportunities to show their wares. But that's generally the consensus, I think, if they're not playing well, is they're in a hurry to do it. And I guess we've talked off air, and I've heard Cal say the same thing. Collectively, let's think about we versus individuals, and that would take care of itself, and I'm sure it will.
Saw something today, I forget who had written this, but I saw that Virginia, Villanova, Purdue, arguably the three top teams in the country at the moment, have one guy projected to go in the draft. Is this just one of those years where it plays out that way? Is that any kind of a trend or just a coincidence?
I think if you saw, as you did, the scores of Saturday and over the weekend, if you're not ready to play, you're going to lose. Nobody is that exceptional that a Kentucky can't beat any of them. It goes week to week. Arizona goes up to Washington and gets beaten. Just St. John's beating Duke in the Garden. I mean, you put the house and the livestock up on that one. But I just think it's you just got to keep working. Don't listen to the distractions. Concentrate. Know what the scouting report is, and stick together. And I think that's all about what teams that have good character do and will do, and I think this team possesses that.
Do you think we are headed for one of those extra crazy NCAA tournaments, more upsets than usual with what we're seeing during the regular season?
On the way home last night, I was with Bob Fishman, our director, and we were saying it's going to be insanity, we think, from the, every time we say that, it suddenly doesn't go that way. But I just think there's so many teams that are capable that if you're not prepared, you're going to lose. And there's going to be no heavyweight in this whatsoever. I'm looking at Kansas getting ready for next week. And, Oklahoma State at home beats them. And nobody's talked about Oklahoma State at all. So I just think it behooves you to put your head down and concentrate, work as hard as you can, have that team concept and, let the chips fall kind of a thing, because I think if you can get yourself organized and get ready for that run, whether it's the SEC in Kentucky's case or other tournament, postseason tournaments, and then get ready for the NCAA, and all of a sudden you may strike some gold, because I think there's opportunity for somebody who just keeps working to strive to get better.
Yeah, that would seem to make a lot of sense, because if you can, really from it's not even you have to have a great seed. It's just you have to kind of get right at the right time and maybe get your momentum in the tournament.
Right, I would agree. When you mentioned seed, I think of Kentucky playing in Des Moines with Indiana, which could have been a regional final.
Yeah,
I'm sure you remember that one. So you're right about seeding and getting by maybe a tough one in the first 2 days of the tournament for you. But again, it's up for grabs, which I think is great for fans. Maybe not fans of the local institution, but
yeah,
for basketball fans in general.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those years where the little old lady who's never watched a game all year wins the bracket contest.
Right. Exactly, and even your tournament, the SEC,
yeah,
is going to be a heck of a tournament. I mean, there's nothing to be taken for granted there at all, whether it's Georgia surprising or Tennessee surprising, Florida gets nicked, Arkansas, the way they play can be disruptive. So, and of course, you know, the heavyweights with you and Auburn, Texas A&M might be, even though they struggled with some losses during the season here. So I just think you will be an example of what's going to happen come NCAA time.
Bill, always appreciate the time. Safe travels.
All right. You're the best. Great to see you, pal. Take care of yourself.
Bill Raftery, love catching up to him. Great to see him. We had a nice visit, Mike and I, with him and Ian before the game on Saturday. We're going to get Ian Eagle on soon. We're going to try to do it this week, and it just didn't work with schedules, so we'll get him on soon, especially if he has another Kentucky game somewhere along the way. I think the next CBS one is in 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks, when they take on Alabama here at Rupp. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, two locations, Palomar Center and in Hamburg. Everything is made from scratch at Wild Eggs. So if you're getting the gang together for a watch party for an afternoon UK game, won't be one this weekend, but there will be the next week against Alabama, let Wild Eggs do the catering. Call either Lexington location. Tell them what you need. Everybody will love it. No muss, no fuss for you. Let Wild Eggs handle the catering. We'll be right back on the Leach Report Radio Network. Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. John Hood joins the program now and talk a little bit about Kentucky's loss out at Mizzou on Saturday. What did you see, Hoodie?
Well, I wanted to see more fight and enthusiasm. That's what I wanted to see. There's a lot of room for improvement, as everyone knows, and they've got another tough test this Tuesday.
Cal has said they've got the most upside of any team in the country, and you can certainly look at the individual talents and see that that's true. But he also said it at practice on Friday. He said, you know, he made that comment to the guys, but he said it's getting to be about that time. So, you know, you were, you know, part of a team that really didn't click until about SEC tournament time. So it's not too late yet, but it's not too far away from too late, right?
You're exactly right. That time, as Coach says, is closely approaching, and it's getting here pretty quick.
What can they do to get on the right path from what you see?
One thing I think is Kevin Knox has to take more than just six shots. That's a guy who rattled off 34 against West Virginia at West Virginia in the biggest game of his young career. So we know that he can do it. The problem now is we have to get him to do it every night. And I mean, the other thing is just not giving up on plays. It's the toughness plays, and toughness doesn't mean go out and fight somebody. Toughness means come down, get a bucket, get a big stop in a crucial situation.
Or get a big rebound when you get a defensive stop. They did a couple of those the other day. Didn't give up a lot of offensive rebounds, but a couple in particular midway through the second half were crucial, where Mizzou got buckets right afterward. We're coming up on the midway point of the show, so we'll take this quick break, come back with more from John Hood. Dane Bradshaw coming up in the second half as well on the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
Back with John Hood, talking about Kentucky basketball as the Wildcats look to bounce back from their loss at Missouri. It's a miserable shooting day. 20%, I think, in the first half, 31% for the game. Is it a case of bad shots being taken, or is it bad shooters?
I don't want to say that anyone's just a bad shooter. Certainly there are some shots that are questionable. But, I mean, they shot 20% from the field, and yet they were still in the game.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing part. And, I mean, credit that to some of the defense that was being played, especially down the stretch. And Coach is right. There's a lot of upside. It just has to change.
You know, I see, Kentucky's not a team that's going to make, you know, 12 threes a game. That's not who they are. But I don't think, I think this is a,
you know, a good enough shooting team. It seems like they're taking, they're not getting themselves enough easy shots. They're not making the defense work hard enough. I had Mike DeCourcy on last week. He was talking about this, too many shots off no passes or maybe one pass, and you probably haven't gone back and watched the tape, but I would suspect that was part of the issue on Saturday.
It was, and some of that is guys getting the ball off the boards on the defensive end, bringing the ball up, and then just trying to take their man. And that's fine, but there has to be a little bit of transition offense built into that. I mean, you have to know where your guys are behind that three-point line. You have to be able to throw that lob. You have to find the trail man if you get in there and you're just surrounded by a bunch of seven-footers. I just got to kick it out, and you'll live and die with wide-open shots.
You can speak to this, but usually the team, it's going to be hard to win games when it's a struggle for you to score and it's not as much of a struggle for your opponent. Over time, that's going to be hard to overcome. And this was a game where Kentucky was having to, and they played some pretty good defense, and yet they were having to work harder to defend and move through several passes, and then have to get the rebound, and then down on the other end, you shoot quickly, you don't make the defense work, and you know, even though they were getting a fair number of offensive rebounds, they couldn't convert those. So you want to make the other guy work as hard as you're working on defense,
right? You're wanting to limit them to one shot. You know, offensive rebounds are they're evil, as Coach Cal will say, for the other team, and for your team, they're the best thing ever. I mean, you get to extend a possession, you get an offensive rebound, go right back up and finish, or you kick it back out, run more offense, run more clock, and make the defense work harder and work for longer. But if you're coming down and putting a shot up that is either ill-advised or just too early in the clock for not knowing time possession or what have you, that's going to lead to bad shots and run outs going the other way and easy points.
Talk to us a little bit about how Cal and his staff go about getting guys to buy into the way they define for them to play, because it seems like that's not happened yet, and that's okay, because I've seen it happen, you know, I've seen the buy-in come later, and this particular year you can go a long way as long as you get the buy-in at some point. But how do they go about getting that to happen for such a young group?
Well, it's a multiple different ways. One of the main ones is you as a player have to come to the realization that the way that you were doing it and the way that you are playing the game just isn't going to work. And that can come from coaches telling you, that can come from you just going out there and playing and seeing tape or just getting beat. But every team that I was on that had that click, every one of those teams had at least five or six guys that would go into Cal on their own and go, okay, coach, you were right. I'm sorry. I was wrong. How do you want me to play? And that was, I mean, Julius Randle down the stretch, going into the tournament or going into the SEC tournament. Marcus Teague did that. John Wall, Eric Bledsoe both did that. I mean, it takes that realization on the player's part first. But when you get to this late in the season, and I saw a quote from Coach that he's going to kind of impose his will on these guys now, that click, if it's going to happen, should come very soon. And because when he starts to impose his will on you, and as you've seen in shoot-arounds, it's not something that you want to be a part of.
You don't want to fight it.
No, you don't want to fight it, because you'll be on the line running three-second runs, which are physically impossible to finish until they just let you finish them.
But that's what it will take. That's when it will happen, is when that kind of and it's not a it's not like guys are sitting there saying, I'm going to defeat my coach here in this test of wills. It's just kind of a human nature thing, but at some point if and when that, and I guess the buy-in's the word we'll use, happens, that's they're really not going to click and start to put together game after game of good performances until we see that, right?
Right. That's 100% correct.
Cal has tweeted that, asking the fans to help his team tomorrow night in this game against a Tennessee team that's really playing well right now. Back in 2013, after Nerlens went down, he did something similar where he called on the fans, I think, as he did yesterday, to stand for the final 8 minutes. I think it may have been the Missouri game. And it was a really, really cool environment. And Kentucky was able to knock off Missouri and Florida late in that season. Talk to us a little bit about how that can help the guys on the court.
Well, it brings that atmosphere that, I mean, like it or not, sometimes isn't in Rupp Arena. You have fans in the lower arena standing for the last 8 minutes. That's in a way, I mean, that's an away team advantage. That's like when we go to South Carolina and they have the students that are surrounding three-fourths of the stadium or three-fourths of the court on the lower arena, and they never sit down. And it gets wild, and it gets rowdy, and it gets loud. And as players, we love to play in that type of arena. We love to know that the fans have our back. We love to know that guys and girls are going to be up in the stands screaming during free throws in the first half, just as loud as they are in the second half for free Chick-fil-A. you stand the last 8 minutes, you'll see that you'll hopefully see that this team will respond to that. And then it's not just this game. I mean, it has to be every game. And Rupp is a wonderful, wonderful home court advantage, but it could be so much better.
John Hood, thank you, sir, for the time.
Thank you.
John Hood joins us from time to time here on the program. Always good to get a former player perspective, especially a guy who's played for Cal for his entire career. Got to get to a break. When we come back, Dane Bradshaw from the SEC Network. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
14 away from the top of the hour, it's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And joining us on the line, Dane Bradshaw. You see him on the SEC Network. And this is a crazy SEC season. Missouri had a really good week, and all of a sudden they're putting themselves in contention for the tournament. How many teams do you think ultimately get into the NCAA tournament from the league?
I think it'll be right around 7. I think there can be as many as 9, 10. And one of my concerns really is just, when you look back to last year, the SEC not only got a good number of teams in for previous year standards when they got 5, but they also, one thing that I think everybody noted on Selection Sunday was they got good seeds and good matchups. And right now you've got so many teams that are hovering around the bubble, and that it's great that so many are in the mix. But it also seems like they're beating each other up and treading water a little bit. And I know they just want to be in, and I get that. But I think you're going to potentially see, 3, maybe 4 of those 7 to 8 teams that get in that are in one of those 8, 9 matchups to start March Madness.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky came out of there in 2014, but that is a tough spot to have to potentially run into the 1 seed in the second game you would play.
No question, and Kentucky was so talented that was a nightmare for Wichita State's scenario. But all these teams. I mean, Alabama is one of those that's kind of been hovering around the bubble, but they've got as much talent as anybody that they can turn it on. And you mentioned Missouri. I thought they were the team of the week last week. I had them a Saturday ago, not this previous Saturday, but when they went to Mississippi State, they got beat, and then they were just. It was one of those, okay, have they survived without Michael Porter Jr. for a while and overachieve, and now it's going downhill. But, gosh, they go on the road, win at Alabama, and then take care of business against Kentucky to where now they've got themselves in a very, very good position. But, and even with that said, though, other teams that nobody's talking about,
Mississippi State.
Yeah.
They beat Missouri, and then they win at South Carolina, which everybody in Kentucky fans know is not easy to do. And then they beat Georgia, another bubble team, by 15 in Starkville. So Mississippi State's starting to roll a little bit, and they've got Alabama and Missouri coming up this next week.
If you talk about the quality of the wins with a road win over Bama and then beating Kentucky for the first time ever, Missouri had the best week. But just in terms of decisiveness of victory, your alma mater had a pretty strong week. Tennessee beats LSU by 20-plus, beats Ole Miss by 30-plus. Now, both were in Knoxville, but you look back at Tennessee's season, and it looks like that win over Kentucky really got them rolling.
Well, then they went on the road. I know Iowa State isn't, you know, the best team in the Big 12, but you're still going to Ames in a tough place to play, and they beat the brakes off Iowa State. But you're right. I mean, this is a Tennessee team that doesn't play the scoreboard at all. And so often when you talk to coaches, they say if there's a team that's, you know, a high-scoring offense, well, that's what they're really good at, but they're not a great defensive team. Or you have a really great lockdown defensive team, but they struggle to get the ball in the hole. And Tennessee has that rare balance where they can put 90 on you and they can hold you to 60 in the same exact game. And we're seeing that to where they are clicking on all cylinders. They share the basketball better than any team in the SEC. So when you look at Kentucky and their struggles right now to get assists and work together, Tennessee is the complete opposite. They lead the league at 16 assists per game. They're top 10 in the country in assisted field goal percentages. Almost 64% of their makes come off of assists. And so, you know, I'm sure that's an example. They could pull clips. Look, coaches use each other in their film room to make points all the time. And I'm sure Calipari could pull some clips from Tennessee and say, guys, here's how fun you can have playing if you'll share the ball with one another. Now, the big benefit Tennessee has is it's easy and it looks really good because many times they got five guys that are capable of making the three-point shot on the court. So it's, yeah, you can share it, but somebody's going to have to make it too. And Kentucky's got a little bit of an issue on both of those points.
Is that what, when you watch Kentucky, is that the thing that sticks out the most is that they are just not connected right now? Is that the thing that could best help them get on track?
When I was playing, we'd be in film, and Coach Pearl would, when we'd start kind of playing a little bit selfish, he would always refer to it as a my turn shot. And you come down the court, and it's like, well, we're not running any offense, but, you know, Bradshaw, you haven't shot in a while, and you just decided, okay, my turn, and you go down, and you're going to take one. Just for no other reason other than the fact that you feel like you got to get yourself in the game because you haven't gotten to shoot it yet. And that's just not how you play. You know, when I watch Kentucky also, you come to know and love the way the guards can get into the middle of the lane and that lob pass they throw right up at the rim that looks like a shot and always ends up into an alley-oop dunk. I don't know the stats on it, but I got to think this team has less of those easy alley-oop dunk twos right there in the paint for their big men than any team I can remember watching under Calipari at Kentucky. I mean, he's done it at UMass. He's done it at Memphis. And this team just, yeah, I think part of it is teams are scouting. They're not having to come off to help. Like when Tyler Ulis got in the lane, you knew he had that floater game. He beat his man off the dribble, and guys would have to come in and help, or Briscoe or whatever. But people don't have to leave the big man anymore. You can play the guard one-on-one, and guess what? That takes away the lob pass. And when you don't do the lob dunk pass, now you've got a tough two. And now your team's frustrated. So, you know, the other thing I'd add, too, is when, even though Kentucky's not as good as they were the past couple years, when they go on the road to Missouri, Missouri's still as excited to play Kentucky as if they're the number one team in the country. The way that place is packed out, because you mentioned Tennessee. When Tennessee went to Missouri, the atmosphere, even though Tennessee was ranked just as good as Kentucky was, the atmosphere wasn't the way it is when Kentucky comes to town. So they're still having to overcome that road environment as if they're the top team in the nation without having to be the top, without being the top 10 in the nation or top team in the nation. And that's only made it even tougher for this young team.
Talk about Dane Bradshaw from the SEC Network as Kentucky gets set to take on Tennessee tomorrow night. The game down in Knoxville was interesting in that in the first half, P.J. Washington seemed to really get inside of Grant Williams' head. Now, P.J. then cramped up in the second half and didn't get to play much, and Grant Williams came alive. Is there something about that matchup that could be still a working in Kentucky's favor tomorrow night?
Absolutely. I am a big believer that sometimes matchups and the personnel can just override and overcome X's and O's. And to take an example, not apples to apples, but LSU just swept Arkansas. LSU is not one of the best teams in the SEC. But the Arkansas Razorbacks just don't match up with Tremont Waters and LSU's offense and their style of play well. And in this case, I could see it, even though it's a small sample size of just one game, that P.J. Washington is just going to be a tough matchup for Grant Williams. Now, the beauty of Tennessee's team right now is the fact that Grant Williams can have a subpar game and they still win. But you're right, that was the key to the game in Knoxville, was when P.J. Washington came out of the game, Grant Williams got going a little bit, the rest of the team got confidence. So, but I would not be surprised at all if Grant Williams struggles to get off his shots, because when you have P.J. Washington on him and he takes ownership of that matchup, then you don't have to double team the way other teams are. And he can move his feet well enough, because Tennessee will put Grant Williams in the high post and let him take his big man off the dribble if he doesn't already have post-up position down low. And I think P.J. Washington can more than hold his own on that end. And then that leaves it to the rest of the guys to play four-on-four and be responsible for all the shooters that are on the perimeter.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a challenge tomorrow for Kentucky. They've got 8 games left, as Calipari said on Saturday. They could lose them all. I don't think they will, but there's no guarantees even in Rupp Arena right now, certainly for this one tomorrow night. Dane, appreciate the time.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
Dane Bradshaw, you can see him on the SEC Network games and in the studio, and we'll get him back with us from time to time as we go down the stretch run of this season. Final segment of the Leach Report Radio Network when we come right back. Donato slice the Wildcat history. This day in 2010, Kentucky scored an 81-55 win over LSU. It was noteworthy because it was the 6th consecutive double-double for DeMarcus Cousins. He just became a double-double machine in the second half of that season. Birthdays, Romel Bradley celebrating a birthday today, and Ty Winyard celebrating a birthday today as well. Happy for DeAndre Liggins. The Pelicans apparently are going to sign him to a 2-year deal. He had been on 2 10-day contracts, and then I think the way the league rules work, they basically had to decide whether they wanted to keep him or let him go. And it looked like that he was maybe going to be released. And now got a 2-year deal to stick down there with all of the rest of the members of the UK family with the New Orleans Pelicans. Coming up tomorrow, it's Kentucky and Tennessee, and we'll talk a lot about that with our guests on the program. Get into the matchup. Larry Vaught, of course, always joins us on Tuesdays. So we will see you then as well on the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to Leach.